Congregation, there are some parts of the Bible you might read and you might wonder to yourself, how does this relate to me? We're reading in our family the construction blueprints for the temple back in Exodus at the moment. That might be one such example. Or you might read a passage that talks about how many pigeons to sacrifice as a sin offering. You may find the Song of Songs a little bit like that if you haven't heard a sermon series on it already. Perhaps instructions about husbands and wives in Ephesians 5 if you're single, or dragons and swords in the book of Revelation. A fascinating fantasy, but daily life, and you wonder to yourself, does this relate to me? But this passage that we've read this morning in James chapter 1 isn't one of those sorts of passages. It isn't a passage that's removed from our experience, cut away from ordinary life. Every Christian can relate to the experience James describes this morning of temptation. And I want us to consider that theme this morning by bringing together, emerging, if you like, two other passages. Jesus' temptation in the wilderness that Eddie read for us before. A time when Satan tried his hardest to tempt Jesus. Jesus, you don't need to walk the path that leads to the cross. Take the easier road. Just give in to your desires. Test God. Bow down to me. You can have it all without the struggle. And then the part of the Lord's Prayer that also relates to temptation as well, where Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. And even as we begin to approach that theme this morning, we can reflect on the reality of life, that we live in a world where we are surrounded by opportunities to be led away into sin, surrounded by opportunities for us to put our Christian principles to one side just for a little time, surrounded by opportunities, as we've already seen in James, to be captured by the things of this world rather than the things and the values of God's kingdom. Our world is a dangerous place for Christians. It always has and it always will be. A dangerous place for those who've committed themselves to following Jesus. And that's why Jesus teaches us in his prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I want us to reflect on our text in James 1, 13 to 15, especially this morning then, by casting our response to that passage through the lens or through the twin themes of Jesus' prayer. Two cries that we offer up to the Lord in the context of temptation. And the first of those cries is, Lord, don't let me yield. Our response to temptation, Lord, don't let me yield. Read in our text in James 1 verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Seems straightforward, doesn't it? Very plain words at first glance. God doesn't do any tempting. No tempting comes from God. But then Jesus teaches us to pray to God. God, lead us not into temptation. And then the Bible says in Matthew 4, as we read before, that Jesus was led into the wilderness, into the desert, by who? By the Spirit, in order to be tempted by the devil. And all of a sudden, it doesn't quite seem quite so simple and straightforward after all. How do we put these two thoughts together? Does God tempt us or doesn't he? One of the difficulties we run into very quickly is that we're up against in our English Bible. I don't know if Afrikaans has the same issue. It's probably better, but English anyway has this particular difficulty. And you can tell me afterwards if it's the same in Afrikaans, because the word that's used here in James 1 and verse 13, this word temptation and tempting, is the very same word that James uses back in verse 2 to say, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It's clear from James 1, verse 2, that these trials are a kind of testing, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. Testing that comes from God. Think of the trial or the test that Abraham faced as he was asked to sacrifice his only son Isaac on the altar. Cast your mind back to those testing moments in the Garden of Gethsemane for Jesus, when Jesus wrestled with his willingness to go to the cross and sweated drops of blood. Think perhaps of trials or tests that you've faced in moments, times of sickness or discouragement. And yet that word trial or testing is the same word that's used in the Lord's Prayer for temptation. One word that means different things in different contexts. Let me try to capture for you this morning the difference between those two in a nutshell. I think we can put it like this, that the difference between testing and tempting, same word, the difference between testing and tempting depends on who's doing it and what their motivation is. God tests us. He tests our faith. His purpose is to refine us, to strengthen our faith. Satan tempts us. And his purpose is for us to fall away from God, to abandon our faith, to turn away. To be tested, as we've already seen in the book of James so far, is to be brought into trying circumstances that test us, that try our faithfulness. Could be receiving a diagnosis of cancer, or getting fired, or a relationship breakdown, discovering that someone close to you has betrayed a confidence, that someone's publicly slandered you for something that you didn't say or didn't do. And each of those situations, each of those pictures, are those times of testing? Or are they times of temptation? I think the answer to that question is yes. Yes, absolutely. Both are possible, depending on your response to that. Why, God? Why are you doing this? What will the future hold? Can I cope? The reality for us this morning, congregation, is that you and I cannot escape times of temptation and trials. There is not a single moment in this life where unbelief and disobedience are not possibilities. Every turn of the path, every choice that we make, we have a choice to turn away from God or to turn to the Lord. We can think of temptation, though, as something more than that as well, as the evil and wrong desires in our hearts, as James says, that seek to entice us away from God. And James says, God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't entice us with evil. God is altogether pure. There are no evil desires in God's heart. Therefore, God doesn't put evil desires in our hearts. But we live in a dangerous world, a world seeking our attention. We live right bang there in the middle of it. That's the source of our temptation. Reflect on that through the words of the Lord's Prayer now, foremost. Note carefully what Jesus doesn't teach us to pray. He doesn't teach us to pray, Father, let me not be tempted. He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't teach us to pray like that. Jesus was spirit-led into the wilderness to face that difficult time that we read about before. A trial and a testing from God, and at the same time a temptation from Satan. The only way for us to avoid temptations entirely, and even as I say that, I think, well, we wouldn't avoid temptations entirely, but the only way we could avoid temptations in the world would be to isolate ourselves from the world, cut ourselves off from the world. That's not God's plan. God has placed us in the world Why? To disciple the world, to disciple the nations. We can't hide away in a little escape capsule, in a little pod. Jesus has placed us into the world. But now Jesus' words teach us that we might not walk into temptation. To put it another way, we're praying, if we would respond to the temptations that we face, we're praying that we wouldn't yield. Lord, let me not yield to evil. When my faith's under attack, that we might be able to stand firm. That in the hour of temptation, we might not be taken in. Lord, when I'm faced with a choice between obedience and disobedience, Lord, please, let me choose what is right. May I stand firm in the test. Not give in to temptation. Strengthen me so that I don't fall over, so that I don't give in to what's wrong. Lord, don't let me yield. As the Heidelberg Catechism so nicely summarizes for us. Our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, the three of them, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit so that we might not go down to defeat in the spiritual struggle. Lord, don't let me yield to the temptations that I face. Don't let me yield. And there's a second cry as well that we might offer up to God in the midst of the sorts of temptations that James describes. And that would be this one as well. Lord, rescue me from evil. Lord, rescue me from evil. As James pictures it here in the words of our text, ultimately the problem that we face isn't a dangerous world. That's why I said before we could remove ourselves entirely from the world and we still wouldn't have escaped from temptation. Our ultimate problem isn't a dangerous world, a world full of all sorts of temptations to evil. Not a dangerous world, but a dangerous heart. God doesn't tempt anyone, but each one is tempted by his own evil desire. When by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown, when it is pregnant, gives birth to death. The image that James gives us here is of someone going fishing. I'm a hopeless fisherman. I'm not a fisherman in the slightest. But that's the image that James uses here of someone casting out the bait on the end of their line. And as you imagine that situation, the line's been cast and there's bait on the end of it, where do you picture yourself? Where should we picture ourselves this morning? Well, James would say to us that we're not the person fishing, and nor are we the fish getting lured. It's kind of like we're both. Our desires cast out the line with its bait, and then we at the same time switch places, as it were, into the water, and we nibble away on the bait that we've set for ourselves. And then we bite, and we get hooked, and we thrash about, and we struggle about. But unless someone will rescue us, we're caught. Hook, line, and sinker, and death is what awaits us. Need help. I need to be rescued. Deliver me from evil, as Jesus taught us to pray. Prayer that calls out to the living God for rescue and deliverance. Lord, you alone are mighty and strong. You alone are in control of all things. And even though, Lord, you do not tempt me with evil, because you've just told me you don't do that. Even though you don't tempt me with evil, you alone are able to rescue me from evil. Help me to stand firm. Help me to stand the test. Deliver me from temptation. Deliver me from evil. But if the next moment you find yourself in temptation, you were to pray a prayer like that in response to it. When When you start feeling yourself enticed by your own desires, you would instead pray to God and pray, Lord, please deliver me from this temptation. Deliver me from evil. I ask you this morning, how would God answer that prayer? How is he going to answer that prayer? Brothers and sisters, if we are to be rescued from evil, then we need to be rescued from ourselves. From hearts that love wrong, from hearts that take delight in sin. And congregation, the only way to be rescued, the only way to be rescued from evil and from our temptations is to look to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who can take a rotten, sinful heart and perform radical heart surgery. For unless our hearts have been changed by God, then we will give in to evil. We will give in to temptation every single time. God calls you this morning to believe in and trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in his Son who came to destroy evil, who came to destroy the work of the evil one. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be rescued from evil, rescued from temptation. But then there's also a second kind of rescuing, an ongoing rescuing from temptation and from evil. When we first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, however long ago that was for you, when we first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we could say we are rescued from evil. But then the rescuing from evil, the rescuing from temptation, needs to start taking place in our lives each and every day in the battle against sin. And God promises to us, he makes a promise to us this morning, a promise you can take to the bank, a promise you can bank on, that God will provide us with an escape plan to rescue us from temptation, to rescue us from evil. Paul writes of that in a verse which you may find really helpful to memorize if you haven't done so already. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul writes, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God provides us, congregation, with a way out, a way to say no, a way to resist peer pressure, a way to love Christ and not our sin in the midst of that temptation. God always does that. That's a promise he makes to us. He will always provide a way out for you so that you can stand firm in temptation. Seems to me the problem is, though, that often we don't want to be rescued from temptation. We don't want to take the way of escape. We want to flirt with sin. We want to enjoy its pleasures. We want to delight in its desires. We think we can play with sin. We can just nibble around at the bait on the hook and just eat it off like a mouse eating the cheese or the peanut butter off the mousetrap, and we think we can get away with it. Not get hooked, not get slammed. But we're wrong. The message of God's word, brothers and sisters, is this, that if you're serious about escaping temptation, you've got to be serious about how you live. You don't pray, Lord, rescue me from evil. Lord, give me a way out. You don't pray that prayer as you willingly navigate your way to a Google search that you shouldn't be making. You don't say, Lord, give me a way out if you're an alcoholic as you navigate through the aisles of the bottle store. Lord, give me a way out. This is not something that you would pray to God and say, Lord, give me a way out from this temptation as you're skirting as close as possibly you can to the boundaries. If for you, the way of escape that God promises you, the way out is not to go there. The time to claim this promise that God makes to us is perhaps before you even get there. It doesn't make sense to pray, Lord, rescue me from evil, deliver me from temptation, give me a way out as we're walking ourselves, walking into the lion's den of temptation. Congregation, God answering this prayer, God rescuing us from our evil desires which tempt us to do wrong, doesn't take away our temptations. You don't become a Christian and temptations to sin just evaporate and disappear overnight. It's not like that. You will be sorely tempted to do wrong. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He will give you a way out, a way of escape. Imagine you're driving home from church today, and imagine for the sake of the example, your home's right on the edge of the escarpment. You're on East Street, and you just turn left off the Warrego Highway just as it's starting to descend down the range. You just turn off left, and there's home. And just before you reach home today, you look out into the distance down the range, and you see spot in the distance that sinful Withcott Township. With Chris Weed's butchery. It's beckoning to you. Meat. I mean, it's lovely meat. This is not a paid advertisement, but it really is very good. And you're tempted. You're tempted to go there. Calling you, congregation, God will give you a way of escape. It's called turning left. Turning left into East Street as you reach it rather than driving on. If you turn left, I assure you, you'll get home safely. But if you get there, if you reach that intersection, you decide you'd rather not take that exit, then you're going to keep driving, and you're going to find that there isn't another way later on. You'll find that short of pulling over to the side of the road and getting out and walking back uphill, taking a hike back uphill, you're committed. There's no opportunity for a U-turn. You can't just do a U-turn and go back up the hill again. It doesn't work like that. You're committed to driving down the range. In the same way, God is faithful. God always provides us with a way to escape from temptation. But it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to take that exit when it's on offer, not keeping on going and assuming that God will give you another. Rather, God will rescue us from our temptations, the temptations of our heart, our the desires that entice us as we offer resistance to the devil. So we'll see a little bit later on in a few months' time in James chapter 4. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Standing firm in the will of God, filled with the Spirit of God. My friends, today, tomorrow, all through this week that lies before us, you and I will face temptation. We'll face a multitude of choices this week between right and wrong, between good and evil. And I assure you that the devil is going to be trying his hardest to lead you into temptation this week. Don't need to be a prophet to know that. That's what he does. And that you would not only be tempted by the desires that are within you or the temptation that is outside of you, that you would not only be tempted, but that you would give in to your temptations and fall. He's trying to destroy you. He's not playing games. He's trying to bring you down. He wants to shipwreck your faith. He wants to see your faith ruined. We serve a mightier Lord and God. We serve a God, congregation, whose beauty and goodness is greater than the pleasures of sin. We live in a dangerous world, but we live not by sight, but by faith. And God calls us as people to firmly resist our enemies until we win the final, complete victory. So let these two cries be your prayer as you face testing and temptation this week. Lord, don't let me yield. Lord, rescue me from evil. Amen.